Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as always is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Thank you very much.
Right, this week we'll be looking at the result on Saturday against the Cove Rangers, looking ahead to this Saturday's encounter against Clyde, and we'll also be hearing from manager Jim McAnally. Martin, how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been very good so far this week. Currently on holiday, so it's always a bonus.
I just throw that one in there,
Yeah, lucky for some, is it?
Right then, we'll start with the home game to Cove on Saturday. Unfortunately, another defeat to talk about.
Yeah, disappointing. But is it surprising given the amount of injuries? I think, not to make an excuse for it, but I think the amount of injuries that we've got at the moment certainly wouldn't have helped Jim with his plans pre-match. So taking that into consideration, potentially that's played its part, but nevertheless it's still a disappointing result against Cove Rangers.
Oh, you just said only 13 players to pick from, two of which were goalkeepers, so it was always going to be a difficult task. Although, having said that, maybe only having 13 players to pick from makes it a team selection slightly easier, because you've only one person not to get in the starting lineup.
Yeah, it's a lot of that square pegs and round holes at the moment with the injuries. It is a disappointing result. We did say after the briefing game, we're full of confidence going into the league campaign, and here we are sitting with 0 points after two games.
It is obviously difficult, and the injuries is always going to be a key thing. But the 11 that he did play, you could argue, are still decent players.
It's a good team on paper. I just don't think the personnel that was played in positions was maybe the best for the formation that was picked, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the formation then, because when the team came in, the first kind of thoughts were that it was going to be pretty much the sort of usual McAnally sort of formation, three in midfield, maybe two up top, one sitting just behind. And as it turned out, it was actually a flat 4-4-2. The biggest surprise, I guess, was that Boyd was playing on the left and Cook was playing up front.
Yeah, and that for me was the biggest surprise. I personally think that Stephen is better up top or Justin behind the striker. I think when you put him on the wing, yes, he can cut in on his right foot, and we've seen him score a good goal against Brechin with that right foot, but I do personally prefer him up top, and I think you lose a lot of his game and what he brings to Peterhead when you stick him out in the wing. I also think Ali Cook is better on the left-hand side. He's got a good left foot, good crossing, he's got that pace, a little bit of trickery. So if they had swapped for during the game and Ali was wide left and Stephen was up top, I think it might have enhanced our chances slightly.
It's square pegs and round holes kind of thing, but given that there is only really one recognised striker, and that was Derek Lyle, to have Cook as his partner was a bit of a strange one. Jim obviously sees something in Cook in training and thinks that he could develop or even help Derek with that sort of partnership.
Yeah, you mentioned the word develop. I don't think with the amount of injuries we've got, now's the time to be trying something new or trying to develop something. I think that is when you've got a full complement of players and confidence is growing along with the squad. Saturday to me was, as we've said, the injuries, it's a home game. Didn't start off against Airdrie too well last week. I think that would have been the ideal time just to go the 4-3-1-2, put Cook in behind, but put Stephen Boyd and Derek Lyle up top. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, we'll hear from Jim later on, and he does go into details as to why he picked the 4-4-2. But in terms of the game itself then, and it's pretty much sort of deja vu, we seem to be talking about the same kind of things. We were doing pretty well early doors.
Yeah, it's almost like the same as the Erdogan game last week. We started off the game really well. I think Jim mentioned that as well in his post-match interview. Started the game brightly, a couple of efforts. I think Stephen Boyd went close with a chance. And then we've been, after about half an hour, we conceded our goal. And then it just seemed to turn out a wee bit flat, disappointingly.
It's that key thing of, you know, being on top for the first sort of 15, 20 minutes and not taking advantage of it. But the other sort of frustrating thing is as well that you're not troubling the opposition goalkeeper too much either.
Yeah, so initially the positive is we are having periods of the game where we are playing well and we're controlling things. I think sometimes last season that was something that we lacked, you know, getting a foothold in the game and controlling it for spells. So having that last week at Airdrie and again on Saturday against Cove is the positives. The not so good is, as you rightly said, we're not troubling the goalkeepers enough. Everything is it's in front of the opposition midfield. We're not really getting in behind as often as maybe we should do. And sometimes it's a little bit slow in the build-up play. That they're taking up maybe potentially that pass too many and it's now getting zipped about quick enough. But we need to start working keepers more. I don't want shots flying from 30 yards and half of them going over the bar. But sometimes just getting that sighter to make keepers aware or defenders that they might need to close down a bit more might in turn pull the defence and midfield out slightly to work a better opening. But the positive is we are getting to periods of the game where we are controlling it a bit better.
There was a couple of occasions in the first half where we got into positions to get that long range effort off and they were sort of looking for a pass, maybe lacking that bit of belief or confidence to actually hit it. And then there was one occasion, I think it was Cook, it actually drilled one for about 25 yards and he got it on target and forced the keeper to make a save. So, you know, it is there, it's in their lockers, we just need to see it a bit more often.
Yeah, it's quite surprising. I feel that the confidence seems to be a wee bit low already because we had a good result at Tannadice, good performance for the best part for an hour against Brechin. Played well against Erdo, just didn't create more chances. It's two set pieces, it's undone us. And as you said, Cook had a shot which has forced the keeper into a save. So there needs to just be that little bit more belief in themselves. I think that's maybe what's lacking, rather than confidence as such. It's the belief that they've got the confidence in their own ability.
I think the good thing about the game at Tannadice was that nobody really expected us to do anything. So maybe the pressure was off. And then the game against Brechin was against a team whose their own manager even said that they were struggling and they were poor. So those kind of two games were maybe slightly out of context, whereas these are league games, these are for points, and these ones probably matter a little bit more than what the League Cup games do.
Yeah, probably. I mean, we mentioned it last week that it's a shorter season, so getting off the good start was crucial. You know, we'll be going out in November with 0 points, which isn't great. Far from it being a crisis at the moment, but you'd like to think that there's enough belief in the players that we'll start picking up points. But the quality of players that we had out on Saturday as well, as in out injured, there's an argument to say that the players who were out injured, 4 or 5 or even all 6 of them, would have started.
I want to ask you about the wind. The wind's obviously a factor at Peterhead. It always is, and for those of us that have been there for a long time know that Peterhead like to play with the wind second half. So when the team swapped sides after the toss before the game, a little bit of gamesmanship there. I think the experience from the old Peterhead boys at Cove knew exactly what they were doing there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of them things you take every advantage you can get, and it's obviously something that they've looked at and know we like to play with it in the second half, and they've used it to their advantage. And I think had the shoe been on the other foot and we were coming to the ball more with the wind, we'd probably try and do the same. So, yeah, get a bit of gamesmanship, but from their point of view, they'll think it's worked out pretty well.
The opening goal then, Meginson's goal, who up until that point was pretty quiet. In fact, he was getting quite frustrated at times. He wasn't getting decisions going his way. He was quite often left isolated. Jamie Mason and Leighton McIntosh weren't getting, you know, getting up to him as often as he'd probably liked. So, but the goal itself, it just shows you if you give a guy like that just a half a chance, he's going to take it.
Yeah, we've seen how good a striker Cove has got. And as you said, if you give him half a chance, 90 out of 10, they will punish you at this level. And that's disappointing from our point of view, because as we said, we did have periods in the game to start with that looked really good. But give them half a chance, and yeah, 90 out of 10, they're going to score it, unfortunately.
I mean, it's one of those goals. It's a terrific finish. He's turned Brown well, and he's just fired it off. Maybe getting the shot away early is maybe just kind of thrown Josh a little bit, because he hadn't had time to get himself set.
Yeah, probably caught him by surprise, maybe. As you said, Brown was turned maybe a wee bit too easy. Needs to be a bit stronger, but that takes on away from the strike. But it's one of them things that we've spoken before, maybe last season, that it's that little lapses in concentration or that one mistake, and then you find yourself a goal down and you sort of struggle to break teams down. That was, you know, part of the problem on Saturday.
Second half, because there wasn't much really after that, there wasn't much else in the first half. So the second half, again, we've conceded rather early. And after that, you kind of think to yourself, well, it could be three going on four here. But again, the goal has come from not really clearing our lines properly.
Yeah, and that was, again, we're going back to that, was a theme last season. But as you touched on there, we conceded quite early after the second half. I'm not sure what Jim's going to be disappointed more, the timing that we've conceded or the way we've conceded, or potentially both. we've come out in the start of the second half, and you'd like to think if you can keep it at 1-0 for as long as possible and try and force Cove back a bit and get into the game, you're always likely to try and get something. But the fact that they've scored within, was it 12, 13 minutes of the restart, maybe even wasn't that long. At 2-0, you against the wind, you've given yourself a massive task.
I don't think they really cope well with the wind. You know, having the wind behind your back is seen as an advantage, but I don't think they kind of coped with it as well as what maybe Peterhead had done first half. So, you know, they weren't really sort of pushing on too much either.
No, from their point of view, they went 2-0 up, and you know they'll be happy with that. Shut up shop. That's maybe part of the reason that they changed halves at the start of the game. They maybe knew that they weren't going to be as good with the wind as what Peterhead would be. We, you know, the players know how to play with the wind at Balmoor, opposition don't. That could be a factor, but it's disappointing that we've got periods in the game where we're good, we just kind of seem to score, and that one lapse of concentration allows it in yet again. When you go 2-0 down, very difficult to come back from that, because teams will set up to defend and just try and see the game out.
And after that, again, it wasn't really until Kesson came on in the sort of 65th minute that there was any real sort of spark up front. The first thing he did when he came on was to take out the Ryan Strachan, which was nice, good to see, although he gave away the free kick, but at least he was getting in about it and getting involved.
Yeah, probably easy for him to come on, you know, losing the game and just drift in and out of the game, but he's come on, he's immediately trying to make an impact. Okay, he's cleared the opposition, but you know, it's letting your opposition know that you're there. And sometimes I don't think that's there from the Peterhead lads. I think sometimes we're too nicey-nicey during the game, rather when the game's getting a bit scrappy and getting a challenge in and getting stuck in a bit. So it was good to see him come on and take Ryan out of the game for a wee bit.
Aye. I want to mention the two Browns, Jason and Scott. Obviously, Jason, this game sort of maybe meant a bit more to him than what a normal game would be. Obviously, his brother playing for Cove. He's got good friends playing for Cove as well. After the goal was conceded, it looked as though he did then try a bit too much in the game. He was trying to get he was trying to come forward with the ball. He was making challenges in midfield when he really should have been staying back. So just that sort of 5-10 minutes after, you could see he was anxious more, I guess. And you kind of feel that there was a card coming.
I think that is a prime example of an injured player playing a massive part in the game. I do feel Simon Ferry played on Saturday that, not rashness, but that of Jason coming forward with the ball, making challenges in midfield, his concentration gone for a few minutes. I think if Simon Ferry's there, he takes that sting out of the part of the game. He says, look, you just need to sit for 5 minutes. So again, the injured players are playing a part of not being there. But Jason, he is probably overcompensated. You know, he's lost a man at the goal, and then he's trying to come forward with the ball. It's not in Jason's game. We've seen that. It's not part of his game, coming out for defence and passing it. So yeah, that probably hasn't helped the situation Saturday.
We've mentioned before in previous podcasts when we've spoken with Jason that he's the kind of guy that seems to wear his heart on his sleeve. You can see how his emotions is during the game, which is all good and well. I mean, he's obviously trying, but I think how maybe if we'd conceded a little bit earlier, there was that shorter time period between the goal going in and then half time. Maybe Jim's obviously maybe going in and spoken to him and just sort of calmed him down a bit. You just kind of feel that there was a card on its way.
Yeah, I think sometimes, like any player, regardless of what level at, your emotion can sometimes get the better of you in certain games. Half-time, the timing of the goal, as you rightly said, their first goal in half-time was probably a good thing because it allowed Jim maybe just calm him down for 5-10 minutes in the changing room and try and reflect on what went wrong and how to improve it for the second half. So it probably did come at a good time for him. It's just something that you hope going forward. You know, there's such a lot of players come in over the last couple of months, and we need Jason as part of that defence at centre-back to just calm things down at times and take the emotion out of the game as best you can.
And the other Brown, Scott, obviously captain, I felt he was one of our best players in the park. He was literally everywhere on that pitch. We know he's box-to-box anyway, but it just seemed to be that he sort of took that sort of a mantle that he was going to be the guy that was going to try and get this team going forward, or sort of get them motivated by making tackles, making the passes, and he just was just everywhere.
Yeah, it's his drive and ambition. We spoke about this when Rory left and Scott got the captaincy. Scott isn't the type of guy to go around shouting and screaming his head off. He leads by example by his performance on the park. And whether that be making a challenge in the corner flag and driving 30 yards and creating a chance and getting on the end of it, you know, that's his style and that's the way he leads. And as you said, probably our best player on Saturday because he wanted, even at 2-0 down, he's trying to get the team back into it. But he's, rather than shouting and screaming about things and how to get it done, he's showing the lads, right, this is how we're going to go about it and trying to get back into the game. So, yeah, definitely a proper leader to have in the park.
Yeah, right, so we're going to hear from the manager, Jim Martinelli, and we'll get his thoughts on what he thought about the game.
You know, I thought we started the game well, and especially, I think, up till they scored, I thought we were the better side. I do think we should have had a penalty kick the first 10 minutes. I mean, Scott Brown says that he touched the ball with the side and Ryan Swackman took his foot away from him, you know. It didn't look a penalty at the time. So that was disappointing, we didn't get that. And then, you know, Boyd had a good, really good chance. He said a good strike to the goal, he said a really good save over him. And I thought generally we were playing quite well, you know. We were playing some good stuff. And sure enough, as soon as Meganson get one look at the goal, you know, we were one down. And that was disappointing because I felt when that happened, you could just see, you know, the boys' confidence is draining a wee bit. And, you know, I said to them at half time, I said, look, you know, we played a lot of better stuff last season against the wind. And, you know, not to be too despondent because I could tell that Cove had, you know, obviously with having the wind at their back in the second half, I thought that they'd done enough, you know. So, you know, the second half I thought was a pretty poor game, but, you know, again, we lost a poor goal because we should have cleared the ball, and we only cleared it to, you know, 80 Milne's, you know, stride and one touch, and it was a second goal. And I kind of feared the worst a wee bit, that I thought, obviously, we've been short of bodies and been a few young players in the pitch that we might have capitulated. But, you know, credit to them, they hung in there and they fought their corner, and, you know, against a team that you can see they play with a swagger, they're a team that's used to winning. And I thought, you know, we hung in there. Obviously, we couldn't get a goal back, but it wasn't for the want of trying. And, you know, we finished the game with the two wee boys up front, wee Darren and Lyle. So it was tough, but, you know, there was positives to take with it, that's for sure.
Is it the kind of the symptoms of sort of last season, the same kind of things happening? You know, you're playing particularly well, but it seems to be that the little things are going against you, and that's the difference between sort of winning games and losing games is.
Well, I think it is. I mean, especially the two league games that we've played, you know, there were fine margins in both the games. You know, we lose a penalty kick just in half time at Airdrie, and then, you know, I mean, it's a good goal that Megginson scores on Saturday, but I just felt in the build up to the goal, they played a diagonal ball out to Leighton McIntosh, and Ryan Conroy should have possibly stayed tight with him, but kind of a backed off, let him bring it down. A few steps forward, and then he was able to play it through the channel to Megginson inside the right channel. So, you know, that was disappointing because I felt we defended quite well. And if you took away, I mean, Josh had a good save to his right hand side in the first half with Jamie Masson, and then in the second half, he's tipped two or three kicks, you know, for a long range over the bar. He's, you know, had a lot to do. So, you know, a team like that that's been scoring a lot of goals like Cove and doing well, we weren't really opened up much in open play, which is fine, but, you know, we do need to kind of stop, you know, well, I've turned some of these games into draws, if nothing else, and that's the one thing, you know, at the minute we've not learned the last season yet.
Is it still pleasing, though, that you can sort of compete or competed well against sort of two teams that are thinking that they should be competing at the top end?
Well, I think considering on Saturday, I mean, everybody totally written us off on Saturday, obviously because we had the six players out. But I felt that this, you know, the team that was going to start the game would have been competitive. And the pleasing thing for me was that they were competitive. You know, if you take into consideration, you've got, you know, our goalkeeper's 19, Lyle Cameron just turned 18, Kieran Freeman's 19, 20. You know, what's Jason Brown, 23, 24, Boydie's 22, 23. We're quite a young team out there. And, you know, I felt as though we competed well. And, you know, certainly for the first half of the year, I did think we played quite well, you know. So that was pleasing, and I think it showed that, you know, when we did get everybody back and, you know, back fit, then we were good competition for places there, which is healthy.
So you mentioned Boyd there. You sort of started him up on the left-hand side. What was the thinking there?
Well, basically, I just wanted to play 4-4-2. And, you know, with Derek Lyle being the age he is, I felt as though we needed somebody to partner him up there. Obviously, he's not going to run in behind, and, you know, he's not got the pace to, you know, to make runs into the channels, and I'm trying to protect him a wee bit, so I played Alan Cook up through there with him. And I just felt as though Scott Ross playing at right back, I know that he doesn't particularly, you know, bomb on and push on like a normal right back, so I felt as though Boyd, you know, might have got a wee bit more of the ball and been able to hurt him a wee bit more, which he did in the first half to a certain extent. So You know, that was when your options are limited, like they were. You know, I know I could have played. You know, the option would have been to play Cookie left and Boydie through the middle. But the thing is, if I played Boydie through the middle, he would have came to the ball the same as Derek Lyle would have came to the ball, and we wouldn't have had that option of getting in behind, you know, for the through ball. So I played Cookie there, knowing that he's got the pace to, you know, to try and get in behind, especially against the wind, because obviously the wind was a big consideration in Saturday.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're playing against it, you need to try and turn the opposition and try and get them back in the park a wee bit. So that was the reason I played Boyd there. You kind of played wide left against Dundee United a couple of weeks ago and done really well. But obviously there's a wee bit more. When it's a 4-4-2, he's actually going to do a wee bit more defensive work. And I just felt in the second half especially, you know, we were just trying to hang into the game a wee bit. And I brought him over to the right just to keep talking to him and show him where to be in relation to the ball and stuff like that. But, you know, that was the reason he was there.
Scott Brown, I think at times looked like he was a one-man mission at times in midfield. How pleased were you with his performance?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I thought Andy McCarthy was, you know, I felt as though both of them were playing against two really good players, and I thought, you know, that part of the game, especially in the first half, I thought that area of the park, I thought we were pretty strong in there. And Scott Brown's just a right good player, and, you know, he, in the first half especially, the amount of times he picked it up and drove and they would pass people, even the penalty kick that I'm talking about, he's, you know, he drives into the box again, and when you get midfield players that do that, I mean, it's exceptional, and I think we're just lucky to have Scott, and I think, again, you know, he's, with Scott, 25, 26, you know, the oldest player either, but, you know, when I was talking about players earlier, Andy McCarthy's only 21, only turned 21, so, you know, with a good strength in there, and I think they two complement each other quite well, so although, you know, we lose Simon in that area of the park, I still think with A2 being there, it still gives us good strength, but Scott Brown, for me, just is a really good player.
So you now face back-to-back away games. First of all, at Clyde, you should have Gary Fraser back. How's the rest of the injuries looking like?
Gary McKenzie will be back also.
Okay.
Two Garys will be back. Isaac's still, he sent me a text today, he tried to do a run today and he just felt his knee niggling him a wee bit, and he's still a wee bit wary of that, so it's obviously early in the week, but I thought he would have certainly been okay, but it seems to be one of the ones that's just taking a wee bit of time just to settle back down again. Ben Armour's back doing a bit of running. Iman is hoping to be back. Not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. Josh Mulligan had seen a specialist last week with Dundee and basically said that he was on the mend and they were going to just rest him for a couple of weeks and then bring him back in again. So that was a wee bit of good news, because I thought he might have been longer term than that.
Got it, Clyde. 7 wins in your 10 visits there. Does that give you a bit of confidence for Saturday?
Well, I enjoy going to Cumbernauld. I know it's not always been the new pitch that's been there, but, you know, out of all the AstroTurf pitches in the league, it's certainly the best pitch. And I think because we've had so many games against Clyde, you know, and personnel hasn't really changed too much with both sides, really. I mean, I know we've changed a bit this year, but the past few years we always knew, and even you know, getting into the game on Saturday, I know most of their team are doing quite well, so it helps when you've got that knowledge of your own position, and obviously, you know, we did well being there. Came up against them that often now that we know that if we can stop him, it always gives a really good chance of getting something out of the game, you know.
It's early stages, but does it become a must win, or is it just a must not lose scenario?
You know, see at this stage where they'd like sitting, obviously, with 8 points or whatever, and I think if you look, we've played four competitive games. We've won two, lost two, but the league games are the ones that obviously you look at, and it doesn't over worry me, to be honest, because I think that when we get everybody fit and available and we turn that corner, we get a result, I think we'll be okay. I would be more worried than if in the last couple of games we would have been turned over and, you know, looked a side that was on the ropes, and we were a wee bit short, but I don't think we look short, you know. I just think that, you know, we just need to bide our time, get everybody back. That's why, you know, even on Saturday, I wouldn't make any excuses to have all the injuries, because, you know, I just feel as though we've got enough to get us. It's a results business, listen. At the end of the day, I know it's a results business, but confidence will come once we get our first result, and you know, we'll just keep at it, and we'll just keep trying to make sure that we keep the players' spirits up as best we can, and you know, hopefully, you know, they don't think too much about these games of not having any points, because that's what I know what it's like. You know, people talk about it. You're done there. You're stuck with any points, but it's still early days. That's for sure. I know it's only a three-quarter season, but there's a long, long way to go.
So Jim's obviously not overly concerned about how the results are going at the moment. Is he right?
Yeah, for me, I think he is. We've touched on already the amount of injuries that we've got. There is periods of the game where we are playing well. He touched on that himself. And as he also mentioned, we'd be more concerned if we're losing 3-4, 5-0 and not really doing anything in the game with a fully fit squad. I think at the moment we're playing in periods of the game pretty well. Just not taking our chances, and that's with six key first-team players out injured. So, whilst we are going away into November, you know, sitting bottom with 0 points, I think there is optimism. It is a shorter season, but as he said, there is still quite a long way to go yet.
There's a long way to go. There is a lot of players out. Hopefully, most of them are going to be back, as we heard the sounds of it. The two guys are going to be back on Saturday. Ben Armour might be back, although Isaac Lane looks as though he's still going to be out as well. But it's still, you know, we're adding still quality to that starting 11 for Saturday.
Yeah, you just mentioned there, and so did Jim, about Ben Armour and Isaac Lane potentially coming back. I would rather sit out one more game and be ready for the foreseeable future than try and risk them for Saturday and then put them on the you know, the sidelines again for a further couple of weeks with reoccurring injuries. So I'm sure Jim will look at that as well. Whilst it would be nice to go to Clyde with a fully fit squad and Haymer players back, I think we've got to be careful that injuries don't amount up too much like they have done just now, because we're risking players coming back too early.
And it's an incredible record he's got at Clyde. 7 wins and 10, as we mentioned there. It's bizarre that we can sort of win so many games there.
Yeah, it seems to be quite an easy place for Jim to go to, is it? Going to Broadwood and getting the 3 points. I think he said his best performance as Peterhead manager came last season at Clyde as well. So a lot of positives going into the game against Clyde, albeit on the back of two disappointing results. But hopefully Clyde is where we get 3 points and start kick our league campaign off with 3 points.
And as you said, that David Goodwill is obviously the guy to try and stop. If you stop him, you seem to stop Clyde as well. Although they're not a one-man team, let's be honest. But I think if you do stop Goodwill, you've got a good chance of coming away with something.
Yeah, I think if you stop the supply into Goodwill, it nullifies a lot of Clyde's effort. You've got to be careful of the boy Ali Love as well on the left-hand side. I think he's a good player. He's quite a tricky fella. If you can keep them too quiet and nullify the supply going into them, I think we should be looking at getting a favourable result. But David Goodwill is a clever player. He is known to wind up the opposition. And that's something, as we've touched on with Jason Brown earlier, just need to take the emotion out of the game. But hopefully if Gary Fraser's back, a big lad, to see the two of them coming up against each other should be a good battle.
You should remember back to Good Glasgow goal last season at Ballinmore, just before he got sent off. It just kind of shows his quality. He doesn't need to be in the game. He just needs that one chance. Much like what Megginson was on Saturday, they just need that one chance, and 9 times out of 10, they'll take it.
Yeah, David Goodwill has played in the Scottish Premier League, so he's a player with a lot of ability. In the sentence you said there, I think that's what we said last time when he did score. He just needs one chance for that bit of quality he's got, and he'll punish us. Hopefully he doesn't get that on Saturday. Hopefully, I'm sure the lads will be well aware of the quality he's got. We need to really try and nullify that before we get anything out of the game on Saturday.
It's a game we would have loved to be in at, but obviously as the current restrictions are still in place, we can't be there. Would have liked to see our good mate David Mitchell. He likes to give us a wave every time we see him.
Yes, a little bit previous with the Clyde goalkeeper. Hopefully he doesn't hit that great a game on Saturday from our point of view.
Again, we sort of gave him a bit of pillars, but he is a good keeper, and probably could be playing at a higher level.
Yeah, for all the stick that we give players, there is a lot of good players within League One, and he is probably one of the better goalkeepers. There is an argument to say he could be playing at Championship level. A very talented goalkeeper, but hopefully, like I said, he doesn't have that good a game on Saturday and we can get the 3 points.
Should also mention as well, we're friends at the Talking Balls Lower League podcast. I say friends, if you listen to their last one, they pretty much said that Peterhead were going to get relegated, all three of them, I think. So
they didn't exactly sit in the fence, did they?
No, they didn't even sort of go back and forth with it. It was, no, Peterhead's going to get relegated, that was it.
Yeah, they thought about it really,
That was it. So we'll keep an eye out on them this week as well. See how they sort of preview the game. I'm sure we'll be tweeting back and forth on Saturday, depending on how the game's going, of course.
I somehow think come 10 to 5 on Saturday, we won't be hearing from them, hopefully.
Oh, hopefully, that'll be it.
Yes.
Referee on Saturday, Graham Granger, not a referee that we'll know too much about. It's his first season as a League One referee. It was his first season as a Grade One official last season. He was pretty much in League Two. This will be his first game as a League One official. Quite a game to get as your first one.
Yeah, certainly. Clyde Peterhead, there's a bit of rivalry appearing there over the last couple of seasons, playing each other so many times. So for him to get his first game at Beat Broadwood, be a good occasion for him, I'm sure, but hopefully come the end of the game we're talking about the two teams and the result rather than the referee's performance.
Yeah, I asked Jim the question in the audio there, does he regard it as a must win or is it a must not lose? From your point of view, do you think it's a must win or is that a must not lose?
I don't think at the moment it's a must win, but you're probably erring on the side it's a game where you don't want to lose. You want to try and get your first point on the board. Ordinarily a point at Clyde would be a good result. Certainly a game, try not to lose, but I don't think it's panic mode at the moment.
And the fact that after that game we've got the game against Montrose and then we've got the two home games after that as well. So there is scope to try and pick up as much points as we can. Because we did say that the first three games were probably going to be the toughest start to the season that we're going to have.
Yeah, we went through periods last season of paying bad results but performance has been okay. And then out of nowhere, you can get that one result, it just springboards you into a couple of good results. So certainly not worried at the moment. Jim's not worried. I'm sure that the players aren't worried either. They know they're in the games. They've been competing well. We're just kind of taking more chances, injuries as well. There's still a lot to be positive about. It's not all doom and gloom and negative. So hopefully come Saturday we get a positive result and that will really springboard us for the start of the campaign.
Absolutely. So hopefully come Saturday, it's going to be not going to be a Halloween horror show. There's my wee pun for you.
That's your pun for the month, is it? Excellent.
I've been waiting all episode to get that one in. There we go. So on that note then, that'll do it for this week. My thanks to Martin as always for joining me. And we'd both like to thank you all for listening as always. We'll be back again next week, so we'll see you all again soon. Cheers.